Father, we just come today, and indeed, Lord, there are so many things that we could ask today. But we ask that you would teach us the right way to ask and the right things to ask for, because this is key to us really fulfilling your will and your purpose and your mission for us here on this earth. And we pray that individually and as a church, Lord, that our desire would always be that our requests would be in keeping with your will and purpose and for always the advancement of your kingdom. So, Lord, just speak to our hearts today and teach us the value of asking, and especially asking for the right things with the right heart attitude. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Just more or less kind of like a meditation from a couple little passages there in the Lord's Prayer. And actually, the Sermon on the Mount, Lord's Prayer is in there. There's actually Matthew 5, 6, and 7, as you know, is the longest block of teaching that we have in any one place from the Lord Jesus. And it says that he delivered this on the mountainside. It says that when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, and everything in a red-letter Bible is read from that point on, right on through chapters 5, 6, and 7. And, of course, there's an awful lot of teaching in here on an awful lot of different things, but sprinkled throughout it, not in one block, there's actually a number of teachings about prayer in this passage. So I've just selected a couple of them. And I was thinking just this week of the importance of asking. And Jesus said that we should ask. In fact, there in the book of John, on that final night, just before Jesus was betrayed, he was giving another teaching on prayer and on asking. And that's where he started telling the disciples, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And later on he says, up until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And I think all of us have experienced at some time the joy of a prayer answered. Amen? How many have had a prayer answered and you rejoice? And sometimes we have a praise on our prayer chain. A lot, most of us request, but we just had one. Well, the first email about Annie Quick was, it said, praise. You know, the surgery went well and all that. The prayer. But the praise is because of an answered prayer. But in order to have an answered prayer, there's got to be a prayer. And hopefully a believing prayer. And hopefully a prayer that is offered correctly. So here are just a few devotional thoughts on these two passages. And if you're one of those who like to fill in the blanks and have something to take home with you, now would be the time to get that. These are just, everything's very elementary here on this today. Number one, what we desire, we are to pray for, seek, and actively pursue. Now that is from the Lord Jesus himself. Let's say that one more time. What we desire, we are to pray for, seek, and actively pursue. And if we find ourselves saying, well, I'm not so sure I could actually pray about that one, then probably that desire needs to be changed. Probably that isn't a desire that is pleasing to the Lord or in keeping with his will and his purpose. Because I'm sure all of us have had things that we have desired greatly, but we wouldn't have dared to pray for them because we know better. But Jesus says, ask. And how many have heard of that? It's becoming increasingly popular all of a sudden. The English Standard Version. Anybody? Anybody? Some of you have heard of it? Anyway, I see some head nodding in the back there. The ESV is very readable. It's just as readable, probably, as the NIV. And I think some people like it because in some ways it may actually be just a little closer to the text or a little more accurate. But they picked up on the tense of the Greek, which you don't find in too many Bibles. And so the way they translate this verse is, keep on asking and it will be given you. And those who really know the Greek, I remember Charles Williams, who did his own translation of the New Testament out of Moody Bible Institute many years ago. I have that. I think it might have belonged to Barbara before we were married. I have it. And that is a rare copy. But his forte was Greek verbs. And he would bend over backwards, as they would say, to let you get the full impact of the original Greek verb. And so he translates it, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open unto you. And that is in keeping with the story that follows this very same phrase in the book of Luke. This also appears in the book of Luke. And that is where Jesus tells the story. He says, now, say you're in bed. You've already settled down for the night. The lights are out. Of course, they didn't have lights in those days as we know them. They had lamps. But let's just say the lights are out. And from what I understand, many of those houses were just one-room houses. So Dad would be next to the door, and then Mama, or there would be, anyway, the kids and all that, and Dad would be, he might have to tiptoe over a number of people to get to the door once everybody had settled down for the night. So he said, your neighbor comes about 2 o'clock in the morning and says, John, John, I need some bread. They didn't have any 24-hour Walgreens or Food Lions in those days. You just had, bread that you had. And I need to give them something to eat. And he says, and you answer and say, go away, I can't. Everybody's already in bed, I can't. He said, Jesus says, you may not give him the bread because he's your friend, but if he stands there long enough and keeps calling, you will get up and give it to him just to get rid of him. So that, Jesus told that story. So that is in keeping with that verb here. Ask and keep on asking. Now, that doesn't mean that the Lord only gives it to us on the force of how long we ask. But I have a rule I go by. I haven't heard it in Bible school or anywhere else from any theologians or anything else. But if I think it's a good thing, until he says no, I'm going to keep asking. That's just my rule. Until he says no. And he knows that I'm okay with no. How many know that sometimes the Lord says no? But if he knows that you're okay with no, then it's okay to keep asking until he says no. And that's what Jesus is saying. Keep asking until you either get it or I say no. That's what I hear him saying. And I've heard people say about different things, said, you know, you gave up just before you would have had that breakthrough. They say you can hit a rock, 99 times, and it may be that 100th blow of the sledgehammer, and all of a sudden it just cracks into 2 pieces. So keep on asking if you really want it. And I think sometimes that is really, we even do that with our kids sometimes. Well, maybe not all parents, but I imagine at some time in human history, there has been a parent somewhere that made their child wait because they really wanted to see how bad they wanted it. A puppy, a bicycle. Nowadays, I guess that would be, what do they call those things? iPod? Whatever. How bad do you want it? I remember it about, from about age 8 and on, the thing I wanted most in this world was a bicycle. And my parents didn't have much money. And so I turned 8 and I didn't have a bicycle. And And I turned 9 and I didn't have a bicycle. And we were in Cuba. And there were months that the total income in our household was under $300 during those days. We ate cornmeal mush more times than I can tell you. And it was good and it was nutritious. And it was cheap. As I recall, a nickel a pound for the cornmeal or something like that, and they ground it right there locally. But I kept reminding my dad that I wanted a bike. And I don't know if some generous donor had sent a little extra offering that month or what, but we were in Santa Clara, Cuba, and we were walking down a side street. We were on a shopping, and guess what we passed? A little privately owned, believe me, folks, no plate glass windows or anything, nothing. A little place, a little bicycle shop. And they had a used bicycle in nice condition for $25, and I got my bicycle. And I was so happy with that bicycle. I rode that bicycle all the rest of the time we were in that little town until we left Cuba in January of 1961. And I don't know who got it when we left, because we left there in a hurry. And probably somebody else got it and started riding it after that. But I never took it for granted because I had waited for it. So, ask. And keep on asking. And what? You'll receive. And he's talking. I mean, it's kind of a life principle too. But he is talking about prayer here. He's not, don't make no mistake. He is talking about prayer. So what we desire, we should pray for. Don't waste a lot of time and energy on other stuff. And whining and carrying on and feeling sorry or whatever else it is we do. Pray! How many ever heard it say, prayer changes things? Prayer. You may not see immediate results, but believe me, believing prayer, simple childlike faith, prayer does set things in motion. And God is oftentimes working behind the scenes, and he is almost always working 3 steps ahead of us, and we don't even know it. So pray. Why does he want us to pray? It says he already knows we need these things. I don't know. You already know your kids need stuff, but they still come and ask you, don't they? And you don't mind them coming and asking. You want to hear it from them, I guess. And then maybe after they get it, it would be nice to hear a thanks. And that's how prayer works. Number 2, anything we pray for, seek, and actively pursue should be within the Father's plan and purpose. And in keeping with his will. And some right there might say, well, this thing's already beginning to lose its flavor. Because if I got to put it through that many tests before I even pray about it, how would you like in sales? How many remember I used to be in sales? And Ruth, you know I used to be in sales. There's a term that they use a lot in sales. It's called closing percentage. How many know what I'm talking about? Closing percentage? The number of people you talk to, the percent that you actually sell them something. And your boss likes for your closing percentage to be high. If you have a really good closing percentage, they like you in the office. They pat you on the back and everything else. And you feel good. Because you like, how would you like for your closing percentage in your prayers to go way up? Pray in keeping with God's will. And if you don't know, you say, Lord, show me how I should pray in this situation. That's something I started doing years ago. Maybe it's not even your situation. It's some situation that somebody you know about. show me, Lord, how I should pray about this situation, because I don't know. And then when he shows us how to pray about it, then we pray in accordance with his will. And it says in 1 John, and we know if we ask anything according to his will, we have the things we petitioned of him. How many have read that? It's automatic. It's, as we would say in the car business, a done deal. So, anything we pray for, seek, actively pursue should be within the Father's plan, purpose, and in keeping with his will. And if I really love the Lord, then I really should want everything that I do and ask for to be in his will. In fact, the number one thing that I should want is to please him. I've noticed that these young couples, when they first fall in love, they're all about pleasing each other. Have y'all ever noticed that? Oh, honey, would you do this? It's like, oh, it would be my joy to do that. Can I do it twice? Can I do it three times? It would be my joy and my pleasure. 3 years later, don't bother me. I'm watching the game. But if we really love the Lord, then this shouldn't be a problem. Because we would want everything to be in his plan and in his purpose. And if it isn't, we shouldn't want to come within a mile of it. Number three. Now we get to our second passage. The top three. David Letterman does the top ten, right? The top three things we should be praying for. I've got them right straight from the Lord's Prayer that we pray here every Sunday morning. And seeking and actively pursuing are laid out for us in the opening verses of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord tells us what the top three things are that we ought to be asking for when we pray. A. They are, A, that his name would be honored among us. Hallowed be thy name. Sanctified be thy name. Sanctified means set apart as holy. Again, I think it's the Holman translation. It says that your name would be honored as holy among us. Why is the name of the Lord so important? Oh, because the name is him. They are inseparable. The name embodies who he is and everything about him. He is holy. He is sanctified. He is set apart. Therefore, his name should be continually honored among us. Number two, that his kingdom would come. Kingdom means rule. And in those days, you had monarchies. You had kingdoms with kings. And his rule was absolute. We still use the word sovereign when we speak of kings. He's sovereign. That means he can do whatever he wants to do. He has the final say in everything. He rules. He reigns. That his kingdom would come. And number three, which is more maybe a breakdown of B, that his will would be done on earth just as it is in heaven. How many think that's really happening right now? but we are to keep praying for it. Now, let's go a little deeper. Four, that his will would be done on earth obviously means in us. Remember, God made man in his image and in his likeness, and God put man in charge of everything, and God came daily and had fellowship with Adam and Eve in the garden until such a time as they sinned against him. And when he says that your will be done on earth or in earth, that is us. It is not in the rivers and the trees and the streams. They obey him a lot easier than we do. That his will would be done on earth obviously means in us. That is in people. In us individually, in his body, which is the church, in the community and in the world, in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our motives, and in our actions. So when I say, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what I am saying by implication, though it may be in brackets, though it may not be in print, I am actually saying, Lord, starting with me. And by extension, his body, the church. And then the community. And then the world. That's how God works. And that is how his kingdom comes. His kingdom coming starts with a person who is submitted to the will of God. And that person can be you. And it doesn't matter what your station in life is. He's not worried about that. He's worried about whether his kingdom has come to your heart, whether it's come to your life, whether you are honoring him, whether you are walking in obedience to him. That is what concerns him. And I am not prepared to pray this prayer until I am prepared to pray it, meaning, Lord, starting with me first, daily. Then I am ready to take it in its bigger context. But it starts right here. If I cannot submit to the Lord, if I cannot submit to his will, if I cannot submit to his word, if I cannot do that myself, what business do I have asking for other people to be saved and to be brought into his kingdom or any other thing in the community to happen in conformity with his will when I myself, he tells me clearly what he wants me to do and I say later or not now or it's not convenient or maybe. And that's where the kingdom of God starts. You all have heard of Ground Zero, right? That's come in use. Where it really starts, where it really is, right here. Ground zero for the kingdom of God. Where is it? Or, in your case, that's ground zero for the kingdom of God. Number five. His kingdom and will are the keys to our prosperity and effectiveness, both as a group and as individuals. It is impossible to be in the perfect will of God. How can I put this? And to be in poverty, at least spiritually. It is impossible to be in the perfect will of God and for his kingdom to really be expressing itself in me and I not be blessed. Oh, I may have some terrible outer circumstances. The Apostle Paul went through all kinds of terrible outer circumstances in the spread of the gospel. But was he blessed? He was blessed all the time. He was blessed everywhere he went. And the riches are beyond calculation. But the keys to our prosperity. What does Jesus say to the Laodicean church? You think you're all that. You think you're rich. You think you're this. You think you're that. You're actually poor, and you're blind, and you're naked. Buy some gold from me, try it in the fire, so that you can be prosperous. But that is the key. Number six, his kingdom has to start with us, because we have no control over what is happening down the street. Or across town, or in our neighbor's home, But we do have control of what happens in our own lives and in our homes and in our church. And therefore, that is where God will start doing his work to bring his kingdom, whether it be South Norfolk, Paliabu, Honduras, Dominican Republic, Asia Pacific, wherever that may be. It starts in our lives because that's where the control is. I can yield to the Lord or not. I can seek his face or not. I can seek his will and his purpose or not. I can yield. I can be obedient. I can't make others do that. I can pray for others. I can influence others. But I cannot control others. His kingdom must start here. Because we do have control in our lives, our homes, and our church. And so our prayer should be always, and especially during this transition period, Lord, in my life, in my home, and in our church, Lord, your will, your kingdom, always first. And when these become the focus, I think an interesting thing happens. When we begin to say, Lord, that your name would be honored, Lord, that your kingdom would come, Lord, that your will would be done on earth, meaning in me, as it is in heaven. When we begin to focus on these things, then all of a sudden our priorities get right. All of a sudden the really big things become big and the really small things become small. And when we are not walking that way, the small things become big. And the big things become small. And no wonder we go through so much trouble and heartache. So that would be my prayer today. Lord, that your will really would come and really would be done. Right here, right now. And that is a prayer that God can honor. That is a prayer that God can answer and will answer. But it needs to be more than a one-time prayer. It needs to be a continued prayer of our hearts as we go through life. Number 7, we are to be instruments. We, his people who know the Lord, are to be instruments for bringing his kingdom to our homes, churches, and communities. And that's exactly how it'll be. To our lives, to our homes, to our churches, to our communities. That's in keeping with the principle. You will be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Starting right here, right now. Things we might ask the Lord for in our prayers. For his will to be done in our midst. For his name to be sanctified among us. For his kingdom to come. For his will to be effective. That the Spirit of Christ might reign among us. That understanding of his greater purposes might be granted us. That love and unity might become our watchwords. That seeking and knowing his will might be our greatest and most pursued objective. That we might consistently be channels through which his kingdom may come. And I have good news for you this morning. This can happen for any of us. This will happen for any of us as we begin to pray along these lines. And my Lord is capable of doing this. As we seek his face and as we ask these things, he is capable of doing them. He can do them. He can give us a fresh perspective. He can give us a fresh desire for himself, for his will, and for his glory. And he can do it in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our failings, our flaws, our failures, our faults, our inadequacies, our inconsistencies, our hang-ups, our prejudices, although those will probably have to go, our limitations, our ignorance, our tendencies toward petulance and occasional stubbornness, our flawed vision, our lack of purpose and direction, if we will focus our prayers on these things, He can do all of these things in spite of those things. Because as we pray along those lines, He will begin to work in our hearts and He will begin to change our point of view. My last line in what I wrote here was, our need is great, and only you can supply that need. And that takes us right back to point number one. Ask, and it shall be given you. You ask for what you do not have. You ask for what you are not able yourself to provide. That's the point. But the Lord is in the business of granting these types of requests. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. You have a will. You have a purpose. You actually have very great and wonderful purposes for every one of us individually, for our families, for our churches, for our communities, and even for our nations. If we only knew, if we only knew the wonderful things you desire to do, we would get out of the way and let you do them. If we only knew the things you really desire to do, we would be saying, Lord, cleanse me of the attitudes. Cleanse me of the mindsets. Cleanse me of the things that are stumbling blocks and that stand in the way of what you would do and of your perfect will. If we would but yield and if we would but seek these things first. And you have told us so clearly, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, Lord, we come to you today. We thank you for the encouraging word to ask and keep on asking until we receive. And we thank you for the direction you give us in your word concerning the types of things we should be asking for. And so we pray, Lord, as we live in it this way, that you will just, Lord, begin to work in our lives. Just turn our lives completely around. Turn our lives inside out. Lord, that you would be able to begin to really work through us and in us in all the ways that you desire. And it will be a wonderful thing to behold, because it will be what you have done. And not only will it be what you have done, but it will be what pleases you and what brings joy to your heart. And in the process, many, many, many will be blessed along the way. Thank you for those who are being obedient. I think of Daryl and Kylie, who went out many years ago, and many others who have gone out, and now Sam and Karen, because of their obedience to you, Lord, in certain areas, blessing is going to come to people they haven't even met yet, or they don't even know yet. And Lord, in another way, in a slightly different context, but the same thing happens right here. As we're obedient to you in our own home, in our own place of work, in the places where you've put us, you good things begin to happen. So, Lord, may we ask. May we ask often. May we ask frequently. But may we always ask in keeping with your purpose and will. These things we ask in Jesus' name.